Christianity for the Rest of Us. It's written by Diana Butler Dallas. And throughout this series, we're examining Christian practices. And Christian practices are the things that followers of Jesus have been doing for centuries that have brought people into a closer relationship with God and with others. And our hope through this series is that through these practices, these might help you live more intentionally through our barn core values. Our vision team spent a lot of work this year revisiting our core values together and what our core values are as a community. And we really spent some good time discerning, are these still our core values? Are these the things that we hold to in our life together? So let's read our core values together. Balance, hope, creativity, a safe place, growth, community, honesty, and all neighbors. And when we live out these core values, we can proclaim with our whole lives that love wins. So our first week, we talk about hospitality, which is the practice of welcoming strangers. We also talk about discernment as the practice of discovering God's direction for my life and for our life together in community. Last week, Dave talked about contemplation, which is mindfulness, prayer, connection. And this morning, we're going to talk about the Christian practice of healing. And we're going to approach this from a different perspective this morning. So, what is harmony? What is harmony? When two different things are working together as one. Balance.
It's a balance. A balance of the good and evil, a balance of work and rest, a balance.
A balance between two things that could be in paradox with each other. Work and rest, good and evil.
I think it means that whatever the thing was, that think about music when you add harmony, all of a sudden it becomes richer.
So it makes, when something is in harmony, it makes it better.
It's when two things that are really different and individual get to come together and work together in a balance, but you can still have both being themselves.
Right.
It's not just the harmony of it.
So you have two different things which stay true to being those two different things, and yet they work together.
Right.
I love that. It's beautiful. Harmony? Sandy? So, are you ready to play with me this morning? Uh-oh, it's the proper response. All right, we're going to do something. I don't know if this is going to work, because I am not a musician. But we're going to try it. And we're going to try it because I'm not a musician. I would like to see. I might bow a little bit, but you know what I'm going to do. And she said, I may call on you. I want to see if we can get into four-part harmony. All right, let's try it. Just come on. You can hum. Yeah, you can hum. You ready? I don't know if I can get that better. Let's try this. Are you ready? So this part, we're going to just divide, like right here, and right here, and we'll divide that. You ready? Thank you. party. With that close? That's good, right? That would be good. All right. Well, I thought I would display this, just a short video from the harmony that I know that speaks to me, thinking about diversity and individual and voices and this beautiful coming together. So let's watch this together.
I've heard there was a secret chord the day you played and please the Lord, for you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
To find harmony is to find balance, to touch the center of wholeness. In church or in faith community, we embody harmony with our hearts, minds, and voices as a way to prepare ourselves to experience the kingdom of God here on earth. And when we practice living in harmony for the kingdom, we're also practicing for the kingdom yet to come. It is this living out of hope that one day we will experience God's peace, God's shalom here on earth. And we hold on to this belief because one day it will be possible. We proclaim anything is possible with God. And harmony embraces our diversity. It welcomes our differences. It's a beautiful tapestry of difference, like different notes to be sung, voices ringing, sounding through silence, and it offers, even in the midst of pain, a word of hope. Harmony seeks to bring balance and justice into broken bodies and a broken world by healing, not just curing our bodies of what hurts us or ails us, but it's also the healing of bodies and spirits. We recognize that curing does not necessarily bring healing. And we need both modern medicine and spirituality to work together in harmony to bring bodies and spirits together into balance and peace. So this morning, I'm going to challenge harmony with Jesus' own words. And this is hard. This is really hard. This is what I think is probably the hardest passage of Scripture there is. And it's a really tough one to hear. But I want to talk about it because it's tough. And so let's read this together, and then we're going to unpack our reading. Jesus said, "I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find a broken house, it will be 3 against 2, 2 against 3, father against son, son against father, brother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against bride, and bride against mother-in-law. In this passage, Jesus is wielding a sword. But isn't he the Prince of Peace? Why is he doing this? Why is he disrupting everything? Why is he confronting everything? And why is he pitting members of the same family against each other? When I read this text, the first thing that I have to go back to is I have to put Jesus in his day, in his own cultural context. And I remember that in Roman times, one's primary allegiance above everything else was to family. Your primary loyalty and allegiance was to family. Family was everything. Family helped you to survive. Family helped you to get food. Family helped you to meet your basic needs. Your first and primary loyalty is to your family. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And Jesus has come and he has disrupted the entire social order, where he is asking people to no longer have their primary allegiance to family, but he is calling them to a different way of living and being in the world where their primary allegiance is to This is a huge shift. And Jesus says that when you are living out these new core values of love, of peace, of shalom, it will pin you against your family members. And so Jesus invites people to live into a new family, a new way of being, which he calls the kingdom of God. And those people who do this, who live out these values, he says, are welcomed into a new family with God as the parent and everyone living in community as brothers and sisters. They are adopted into this new family as children of God. So throughout the gospel, Matthew rejects that traditional family in favor of this new home and household of God. And so here's an example of living into these values of Jesus. Loving our enemies. Right? Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and I remember even being a little kid, probably my kid's age, and Jesus teaches us to love our enemies. And it's one thing to know that we're told to love our enemies, and it's a whole other thing to actually love our enemies. Right? This is simple to think about, and it's hard to embody and live out in your heart. So say you have a neighbor who can't stop putting his garbage out onto your driveway. It's driving you absolutely nuts. And frankly, why can't they just keep their junk on their side of the lawn? There's a lawn, and that's the lawn, and they just keep their garbage there. Why can't they keep their garbage there? But your spouse is telling you kingdom values, patience, love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Well, I don't want to love my enemies. No, well, it's simple. Why can't they just put their garbage on their side of the lawn? Right? And my spouse, my spouse just keeps telling you, patience, values, love your enemies, right? And it's like these little things that continue to frustrate me about my neighbor's garbage. I mean, it's a simple illustration, right? And then it gets harder, right? It gets harder. So, should I move? No, that's not going to help. Okay.
I think it's no secret.
All right. So, I don't know about you all, but
I'm going to move the chair because I'm going to make sure I'm going to own this.
Have you all been paying attention to news this week?
Oh, yeah.
The NFL and tweets and media and all this stuff.
Okay.
It is important. So my dad and I have been talking about the NFL and the protests for months since it started. And I want to share a little bit about how I feel This is how I feel. This is my perspective. When I was in my early 20s and I was living in New York City, I shopped at Macy's all the time. I love Macy's, so shout out to Macy's. I was a few blocks away, and I loved to shop. And one day, my girlfriend Kim and I had a few hours between the one shift at work and the evening shift for dinner. And so we said, you know what, let's go to Macy's. We both love Macy's. Let's go and shop for a little while. So we walk in to the fifth floor, and within no time at all, we are being followed. What in the world are we being followed to Macy's? This is never happened before. I'm here like 3 times a week. Okay. Yeah, like in my early 20s. Right. We're making our way through the junior's department into the women's department, and I'm like, you know what, let's go shoe shopping, because who doesn't love shoes? So we go to the next floor with shoes, and there's the guy. He is still following us. Finally, I look at him, I'm like, what is happening here? Why is this guy continually following us? And she looks at me, and she says, oh, it's because I'm black. What are you talking about? She's like, this happens to me all the time. I'm like, this never happens to me. She goes, no, you're white. Hit me like a ton of bricks. The reality that my dearest friend has to live with this day in and day out, the injustice of what it means to be white or black, or to the injustice of what it means to be black. And by the nature of the color of her skin, she is going to be followed in Macy's, became a reality for me in that moment. That was the first time that I recognized that I walk around with white privilege. And it set me on a journey of understanding what does it mean to be white, what does it mean to be black, and how can I educate myself to being different in the world. That is my experience. Because I could look at him, who was one of my dearest friends, who is amazingly brilliant, who is incredibly beautiful and gifted in so many ways. How is it that she could be followed in Macy's? It blew my mind. So I've been on this journey that I've taken myself in the last 20 years. And so when the NFL players, when Colin Kaepernick sat on that bench and got it, I heard his message. But my dad was angry. And so I couldn't understand why he was so angry. And it bothered me. Because I know my dad. My dad grew up in New York City. He grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood. He understands racism. He understands systematic injustice of racism. He understands the social and economic dynamics that are at work. And so I asked him, I said, why are you angry that these NFL players are protesting? And I learned some things that I never heard before because he has a different perspective. So the interesting thing is this week, I called my dad because we've been having these conversations regularly about what's happening in our country. And I actually asked him to read my message for this morning because I wanted his input about what does it mean to disagree, to agree to disagree. What does it mean to have harmony right now when we are so divided as a country, as a people? I wanted to understand his perspective. My dad is a Vietnam veteran. He served from 1966 to 1969. When he came back to New York after his service, he came back to protest. He came back the first time because his best friend was just killed in action. My dad still continues to suffer from PTSD, and it pains him when he sees someone protesting in black because he wonders, did my sacrifice now. And I heard. I listened to my dad share the story of his own pain, and I also heard him share a story of other veterans who come back with PTSD and who have experienced tremendous trauma. And I began to wonder, how is it that there is a group of Americans who have experienced such trauma and are in need of healing and pain, and we have another group of people who have experienced trauma and are in need of healing from so much pain? How do we bring people together with such different perspectives? Because I can't take away anyone's trauma or pain, nor should I, nor should any of us, but we need to do what we need to. I don't know, but all I know how to do is listen and understand. That's all I know to create harmony. There's tremendous pain in our country. How do we overcome this? So my dad and I have set goals when we have these conversations, because otherwise it's our knowledge. I'll be honest. And I love my dad more than anything else in the world. One rule is that we must agree to disagree sometimes. Because I value my relationship with my dad, even if we see things differently. We must agree to disagree. Number two is we have to respect the person. My need to be right cannot trump your dignity and worth as a human being. Relationships are more important than the need to be right. And every human being is a child of God. We also agree to speak from our own perspective. And the last rule is that we have to listen, listen, listen. I know that you all have perspectives on this. And I wanted to invite in the conversation. Because I think to have an alternate space other than people who are shouting at each other or name-calling each other is not helpful. But I think sometimes that having a conversation is like a sword because it is tremendously, tremendously painful. And I think it goes back, for me, it goes back to what you said, Betsy. That sometimes you have to move through pain in order to find what is beautiful. And it's hard to hear the pain of others. But I hope that in some way we can reach understanding, and I think that's what healing is about. Healing is trying to find a harmony, a sense of balance, a sense of listening and honoring someone else's experience in a way that can not change another person, but that can bring healing to community. I think through our faith, healing is a practice that we need for ourselves and for our society. And it's a process where our spirits can receive the peace that we so long for, that we're called to. And so before we enter into conversation, I just want to share this quote because I think, for me, this says so much about healing and the process of healing and bringing harmony. In Batson's book, she shares the story of a man named Jack Harrison. And he was a man dying of pancreatic cancer. And he had given a sermon to his community in which he talked about how the wounded become healers. And he writes, "We are always working for God's world. What this church gives to us individually through the healing we receive, our own sense of belonging, and a clarity about God's kingdom, is the equipment we need to be Christ, to meet the needs of a world that is calling for relief. It is because of our own woundedness and our openness to being healed by God that we become healers in the world. It doesn't call us to shy away from what is difficult or what is painful, but to enter into a conversation because it is through your brokenness that you have the power to be a healer in the world. Brokenness can point to something that is greater than ourselves. And in this process, we can proclaim that love wins, and that harmony heals, and that the church can be a hospital for broken people to experience peace. So I hope we can have an invitation to have these tough conversations with respect, with honor, in a way that can bring healing to this broken world. So remember, there are clipboards, or if you want to speak for yourself, we will have a time of discussion after our reflection together and after our time of prayer.
Prayer is tough for me after this. So, forgive me if I speak from the heart. Heavenly Father, there's a lot of ugliness that is going on in this world right now. There's a lot of ugliness and misunderstanding that causes disharmony. From people not putting themselves in the other person's shoes, not understanding their fight or what they're going through in life, whether it be Muslims or refugees or Black Americans or White Americans, people not putting themselves in the other person's shoes. So I ask you today, with everything that's going on in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, in the Virgin Islands, here in this country, in the Middle East, throughout the world, I ask you to touch each and every one of our hearts. And before we speak, that we listen with an open heart to what the other person is saying. And that we hear that through their ears, what they're saying, what their plight is. And that we just touch them with love. And in our conversation with them, that we can share what's going on in our heart, but our hearts meet halfway. That there is that harmony and that balance. That the love that you have given each and every one of us, no matter how we worship, that love can be transmitted to the person that we are speaking to, that they see your glory and your tender mercies and your grace in us as we speak and try to have harmony with them as we walk through this day, through this life, through this world. I ask this in all things in the name of your sweet Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
One of the greatest gifts that I think God has given is the gift of compassion. Compassion being walking alongside and feeling with your companions, entering into a relationship where you can hear the story of another and offer love and forgiveness and grace. And when we can companion one another with compassion, is a tremendous gift where beautiful things can emerge and the world can experience the healing that it so desperately needs. And so we share